Trouble in the Middle East? Perplexity among nations everywhere? The activity in Western Europe toward economical and political unity? All these things, dear friend, points to the fact that we are in the closing moments of the Church's history. The day of God's grace is fast coming to an end. And along with these various signs that I mentioned, is the rapidly increasing apostasy of Christendom. This is blossoming more and more in the denial of Christ and His Word for the sake of religious unity. Now, my beloved friend, this is what leads me today to present a few remarks in these few moments with the book dealing with the subject of Antichrist. I should like to consider this subject in this way. First, what is Antichrist? Second, who will be the Antichrist? Third, what will the Antichrist do? And fourth, what will be the end of the Antichrist? First, let me turn to 1 John chapter 2 to read in verse 18, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." John is writing about A.D. 90, and even at this early date, there were many who were Antichrist, that is, against Christ. That's the simple meaning of the word Antichrist, those who are against Christ. This has continued from that day until now in increasing intensity. But what is going to happen is that this error, development of this apostasy from Christendom, that is, the true facts of Christianity, that which is in connection with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, will continue to increase and culminate in a person. But notice, it says here that those who are anti-Christ are those who went out from us, John says, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that is, they left Christian profession, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, let me remark, in connection with this, that those who are Antichrist are those that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, deny that He is the Son of the Father, the eternal Son of the eternal Father. In the fourth chapter of the Epistle of John, we also read this: "Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard, that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." So, dear listener, the Scripture states that Antichrist is the spirit of that which is against Christ, His person and His work. In the second epistle of John, John writes, verse 7, "For many deceivers have gone forth into the world, who confess not Jesus Christ come in flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Today we might say this, that everyone who does not confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God manifest in flesh, is Antichrist. Is my listener in that company? Are you against him? I want that we should all remember this, that the Lord Jesus, when he was here, said, "He that is not with me is against me." This is Antichrist. But now in John chapter 5, the Lord refers to a definite person who should come, who would be the Antichrist. In verse 43, he says of John 5, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. The Christ of God, the one prophesied by Old Testament scriptures, was here. He came to Bethlehem, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Lord Jesus, in view of his rejection, speaks of one who would come in his own name in a future day, and the nation of Israel would receive him. He would be the Antichrist. There are many Old Testament scriptures that refer to the Antichrist who will arise in the last day. The first one we might consider is in Daniel chapter 11. In verse 36, we read of him as the king of the people of Israel, who would do according to his will. And regard that in connection with his ancestry, we read that neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. This very clearly indicates that this person who will come will be of Israel, one who will not regard the God of his fathers. The fathers, trusted in Jehovah. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for instance. This man will confess to be and shall come from the stock of Israel. But he will not regard the God of Israel, nor the desire of women. The desire of women was that they should mother the Messiah. He will not regard the true Messiah. He will be anti-Christ, God's Messiah, God's Christ. And so thus we notice that he will be king over Israel, gathered now back to the land in unbelief, and who will welcome this one, this ruler, this king, as their Christ, their Messiah. But he will be the Antichrist. He will be against the Lord Jesus Christ. In Zechariah 11, he's referred to as a worthless shepherd, one who will have in his power to gather people around him and will be able to do deceive that will deceive, but he will have no thought of love, no thought for the people themselves. He will seek all for himself. He's called the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. He will not have any love for the people. And those today that are propounding evil have no love for the people of God. They have no love for the souls of mankind in general. And so this man who will rise and be the religious leader in Jerusalem, he will be called the worthless shepherd. Next, you will notice we have him before us in Revelation chapter 13. And I'd like to have you turn with me there, please, if you will. For here, we have him considered as a beast. How he is an imitator. But he has all the qualities of a cruel beast. In verse 11, for instance, of Revelation 13, John, by the Spirit, writes of him as a beast coming up out of the earth. In the first 10 verses of Revelation 13, we have another beast mentioned. It's the beast out of the sea. This has reference to the political ruler of the revived Roman Empire, an empire that is now forming on the common market and on the coming together of a prophecy of 10 kingdoms that will have one man to rule over them, to whom they will give their power and authority. He is the beast, the political ruler. But in verse 11, we have the religious ruler, the Antichrist, mentioned as a beast who comes up out of the earth. The sea speaks of the Gentiles, but the earth always presents Israel. And so the Antichrist who will arise will be a Jew, as we've noticed from Daniel. He'll be an idle, worthless shepherd, as we had from Zechariah. And here, he will come as a lamb, like a lamb. He will be the imitator. But you notice he speaks as a dragon. So he will be a beast, bestial in character, with no heart of love, either for God or for Christ or for the people. Who will he be then? He will be a Jew. He will be the king of apostate Jewry. He will be a worthless shepherd. He will be a dragon, but one who will imitate the Lamb of God. Now, what will he do? In this same chapter in Revelation 13, and from other scriptures, we notice that he will make a league for protection with the Western powers of Europe. And then you'll notice he will exercise all the power of the political ruler before him. And he will cause that all those that dwell on the earth shall worship the beast. Who is referred to here? Very simply, dear listener, those that are left behind at the rapture, who have professed Christ as Savior, but have denied him, who have sided against him as to who he is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and have not accepted him as a personal Savior, they will be deceived by this Antichrist. They will believe that he is the Messiah, and they will be drawn by his power to receive the mark of the beast and be doomed and be damned for eternity. He will deceive many by the great wonders that he will be able to perform. He will make fire come down from heaven, and he will cause all to worship the beast. He'll erect an image to the political ruler in the temple. The temple that will be built just as soon as the people of Israel get the spot where it must be built. The present mosque, you see, of the Arabs is on the spot that Israel must have for the rebuilding of the temple. The temple will be rebuilt in unbelief. The Antichrist will sit in this temple, and he will also erect an image to the political ruler. And this will be the abomination of desolation. This is what will give, through the power of the Satan, a great imitation that will deceive the whole world. He will give breath to this image, not life, breath to the image. He will cause the image to speak and cause that all that had rejected the true Christ shall worship this image. Oh, dear friend, what an awful thing this is. This is the delusion that shall cover all Christendom, professing Christendom, apostate Christendom. And oh, if you are amongst those who are not yet saved, you are in danger of being amongst that company, because those who know Christ as Savior shall be raptured home to the glory. Those who do not will be part of the apostate Christendom, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and that which God is going to judge. And God is going to send strong delusion to believe the lie of the enemy. This is what we read. Also, you notice in 2 Thessalonians, he is distinguished for us as one who will sit in the temple. He's called the man of sin. He's called the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. And what will he do? He will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He is called also in verse 8, that wicked one. But oh, he's going to be destroyed. He is going to meet his end, his doom. And we read in Revelation 19 of this, when the Lord shall come himself with all his saints at the close of that period of great tribulation that will last for 7 years, the Lord himself will come as a rider upon a white horse. His name is Faithful and True, and he is called the Word of God. He's going to judge the political power of Rome, the Western United States of Europe. He's going to judge apostate Israel. He's going to judge apostate Christendom. The Lord is going to be supreme. He is going to judge also the political power of Rome and the religious power of Israel, the Antichrist. We read of this, that when the Lord comes, coming to mount there in Jerusalem, in the land of Palestine. His feet are going to stand upon the mount. And we read that the beast was taken, that's the political ruler, and with him the false prophet, that's the Antichrist, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. This is the end of the Antichrist. Not the end in annihilation. There's no such thing as anyone being annihilated. In the 20th chapter, we read that after the 1,000-year reign, that the beast and the false prophet are still in the lake of fire and shall be tormented day and night forever. Oh, dear listening friend, with whom are you going to be associated? The only way to escape the delusion of the Antichrist is to come now to the one who is the truth, the way, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come to him just as you are. Trust him as the Son of God who died for your sins and rose again. Trust him as the one who will come to take you to be with himself. You will come to know him only as you realize that you need him and you do need him. And I urge that today, that you will put your simple faith and trust in him and his finished work, which is true. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.